welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead and get started this morning in the Word of God in a passage of from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. And this is really Jesus' parting words, literally his parting words, just before he left. He said this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." So, of course, these disciples have been walking with him for the last 3.5 years, and, you know, they were kind of wondering what the end game was going to be here. Actually, before Jesus said that, he said, you know, at this time, are you going to restore, you know, Israel? You know, basically kick out the Romans and let's get going, you know. Our king has come. Let's rule and reign right here and now. You know, they had an idea of what that was going to look like. And he said, yeah, wait in Jerusalem. You're going to receive power. And then all of a sudden, he's gone. And it's like, what? He said, that's okay. He's coming back. So they have to do the last thing he told them to do. But they got this promise immediately. He will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Again, next month we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas and the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, when God came to the earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's important to realize that in the same way we have all those beautiful messianic prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus being born, you know, the government will be upon his shoulders. You know, a virgin is going to give birth. You know, all those promises that we have in the Old Covenant about Christmas and Jesus coming. This is a powerful promise that he is going to come back. In fact, when you look at, you know, some of the statistics of the return of Jesus, one out of every 30 verses and 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to the return of Jesus Christ. For every prophecy in the Bible concerning Christ's first coming, Christmas, there are 8 which look forward to his second coming. That's pretty remarkable. Jesus is coming back. I love the way the message puts it in regards to our hope. He says, if all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. It's important in these last days, it's important in these days we're living in, that we remember and that we get stirred up and that we live the context of our life from the broader context that Jesus is coming back. We've all got a context of life that we're living in. Different situations, different scenarios, but there's a broader context of the return of Jesus. Do you know how a broader context can really give perspective to what you're going through right now? And there is a promise that we have in Christ that he's coming back. You know, when Jesus came the first time, he said, man, blessed are your eyes. You're seeing because you're seeing things that people before you wanted to see. Blessed are your ears because you're hearing things that people before you, they wanted to hear. In other words, those people who were knowing someday it was going to come, when he was there in their midst, he said, blessed are your eyes, blessed are your ears. This is really happening, real time, right now. Man, so many people wanted to hear it. And they had he was like giving them a sense of reality and an appreciation. This is really happening. This is what was promised all those years ago. That's what I want to do as it relates to the message today. Jesus is coming back. You know, Jesus himself said, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, nations rising against nations, you know, signs in the heavens, things, chaos all around you. He said, but when these things begin to happen, you look up. He said, actually, men's hearts will fail them for fear of things coming upon the earth. But when these things begin to happen, you look up because your redemption draws nigh. What are we talking about? There's a broader context. There's a lot of junk going on in our world. There's things that are changing. Like if you, you know, just think 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. If you would have told me certain trajectories of, you know, just the world we live in, our nation that we live in, were going to happen, I just wouldn't have hardly been able to believe it. But here we are. Things are ramping up quickly. The enemy knows his time is short, and he's doing some things quickly here. And it can be easy to get caught up in, oh my goodness, and they're doing that, and this is going to, and we do want to be aware of what's going on in the earth. Obviously, we're here to pray, to restrain evil, to have a role in the earth as a church, no doubt about that. But we set our mind on things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. That's where our minds are set. We live from the broader perspective as being Christians, as being believers. And this morning, man, it is so easy, and I raise my hand as chiefest of who can fall into this. But it is easy to get caught up in the news and the news cycles. And there will be a lot of news and news cycles this week. But as news and news cycles come out this week, I want you to be reminded of a broader context. There's a bigger picture. All right? There is a bigger picture going on. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. That is a great promise. It is a great hope. And I want to go ahead and minister along those lines this morning. I'm just trusting, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you encourage every heart here this morning, that no matter who is going through what, that there would be a broader context, a light around that. You are coming back. You are coming back for them. Father, I just pray that there would be a strength and an encouragement that comes forward this morning, that we would see it, grasp it, and let it encourage our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for you. Jesus is coming back for you. He put it this way. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's encouraging them, isn't he? Don't let your heart be troubled. That's a good word for right now. Let not your heart be troubled. He's going to prepare a place for you. Man, do you realize that? He is going to prepare a place for you. Sometimes we like to put it this way. Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. But he didn't die on that cross for anyone more than he died on that cross for you. He died on that cross for you, for me. He died for all of us. When he comes back to this earth, he's not coming back to this earth for anyone more than he's coming back for you. He's coming back for you. There's a certain personalization of the gospel. In fact, that's how you get saved. At some point, you have to hear the gospel on a personal level and believe in your heart that, yeah, my sin was on the cross. Recognize my own sinful condition as a sinner. Call upon the name of the Lord and then be saved. My parents couldn't do that for me. I had to do that. I had to make the decision to call on the name of the Lord. It was personal. It was for whosoever will, but it had to be personally received. And I became a child of God. That's what I love. The gospel is personal in that sense. And that's when you realize, man, he died on that cross for me just as much as he died for anybody. When he's coming back again, he's coming back for you just as sure as he's coming back for anybody. Here's how the scripture describes it a little bit more graphically, what's going to happen. 1 Thessalonians 4, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. First, the believers who've died will raise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever." Praise God. So you got people in the early church of the Thessalonians who were sad because they had people who died, and they thought, oh, you know, they missed it. They missed the return of the Lord. It's too late for them. They have to, in their mind, they had to live till Jesus came back. And he's going on and saying, hey, they're not gone. You know, they're going to be actually coming back with the Lord and being experiencing what you're going to experience, all right? So he's trying to encourage them and just let them know you don't have to grieve like those who have no hope. There's still hope here. You're going to be caught up in the clouds. When I share this, one of the big reasons I am emphatic about the return of the Lord Jesus is because on September 5th, 2014, I had a dream about the return of the Lord. And sometimes you have experiences in God that'll just mark your spirit. It's like, I know one thing, that's real, that's true. You know, you can have experiences in God that'll just like, wow. And so I had one of those. It was a dream. And, it was one of those things where it's not like you plan for these things. You know, a manifestation of the Spirit is as the Spirit wills. You can't will it. It just happens. And it's like, wow. You want it to always happen, but it's not what you want. It's what God wants to reveal. And so I had this dream. And it was like an evening. And it almost felt, it was me and my dad and my brother. It almost felt, we were kind of in these woods. And but it was like there was kind of an open field and there was kind of these woods in the perimeter. And we were just kind of walking around the perimeter on these woods in this kind of open field. And it almost felt like it was deer hunting. But we weren't deer hunting. It was night. It was evening. It was kind of like just getting turning dark. And and so just as we were just kind of walking out in the woods together, all of a sudden I looked up. You could see in the sky just this like spinning sprite of lights just kind of off in a corner, of the sky. And my first thought was, wow, I've never seen like shooting stars like that. Or your mind just starts to trying to explain away, what is that? Shooting stars. And then all of a sudden after that, just that flicker and that spin, all of a sudden the whole perimeter of the sky just was just that same sprite of light, just like a circumference of the sky was lighting up there. And then all of a sudden in my dream, I thought, nope, I can't explain this. In my mind, I just thought, my next thought was, could this be? Could this be the return of the Lord? And just like as soon as that thought like completed in my head, it was like I heard just a loud shout. It was like a shout and just the sound of a trumpet. It was like piercing. It was just so clear. And I heard the words, "Behold, I come," and the sky just lit up, and I saw Jesus. And I just saw, like, just surrounded with angels in glory. You know, it's almost like on that Christmas night when the shepherds looked up and they beheld a multitude of the heavenly hosts. Well, it was kind of like that, where the sky lit up multitudes of the heavenly hosts, but Jesus was there in the midst of this, what I was dreaming at the time, what I could see. And it was like, wow, you know, "Behold, I come." And I realized. And when I saw that, it was like my first thought was, I'm with him. That's my Lord. That's Jesus. It was so awesome. It was so amazing, you know? And there was such, I'll tell you this, there was a sense of vindication. I don't mean this in some weird political, angry, you know, thing in my head, but in my heart, the one who I'd been perceiving by faith all these years, I was seeing. It was like, oh, there he is. That's the one. There was a certain vindication in my own spirit, my own heart. And I saw him, and there was just such an instant joy of reality. I thought, you know, I know the Bible says this is going to happen, but it's happening. Here it is. It was like when Jesus was there saying, blessed are your eyes for what they see. Blessed are your ears for hearing what they hear. Many have wanted to see and hear what you hear, but they haven't heard it. It's like, here I'm coming, and I'm seeing it. I'm here. It's like I'm moving. I'm dreaming like I'm in this place forward in time where I'm seeing this happen. And it's like, wow, this is amazing. And so I knew from the scriptures that the next thing that was going to happen there is that I was going to be caught up. I was going to be changed. I was going to get a new body. And I instinctively, just in my dream, I just put my hands out like this. I don't know if it was like I thought I was going to fly or what was going to go on, but I just knew my body was going to be changed. And in that moment, it was like I went from this amazing, glorious view to just being in the presence of God. It was like I was on the earth experiencing the glory of God, just seeing that, and the next moment, I was with him in heaven. And I was seeing heaven, and I was seeing saints, I was seeing angels, and I was just seeing people worshiping God. It was amazing. And that's exactly what the Bible said would happen. It says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And that's exactly what happened. He appeared, and the next thing I knew, I was appearing with him in glory. And it was right there in heaven. It was the reality of the return of Jesus Christ. Now, I'd believe, you know, 2014, I'd been a pastor for 12 years at that point. I could get that right on a test, and Jesus is going to return, and, you know, I got my theology all straight, but this dream shook me. This is really going to happen. This is really going to happen. Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. Not only is he coming back, he's going to bring those who sleep in Jesus with him, and there's going to be a resurrection from the grave. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know, when somebody dies right now in the Lord, they go to be with Jesus. They go in the presence of God. To be absent from the body, Paul said, is to be present with the Lord. Do you know you don't need a physical body to have a conscious awareness and an existence? You don't need a body for that. Your spirit can live without your body. The body without the spirit is dead. But when you're present with the Lord, you're consciously aware and alive. Sometimes it's hard for us to imagine that because we're so tuned into the physical. But think about this. Is the Holy Spirit conscious and aware? Is the Holy Spirit a conscious, aware being? He doesn't have a body, but he's conscious and he's aware, isn't he? Spirit being. God is spirit. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's not when Jesus became consciously aware. That's just when he became flesh. He was consciously aware before he ever became flesh. Just kind of, maybe a little mind-bending for, you know, just kind of thinking outside. A spirit being is consciously aware without a physical body. God is. The Holy Spirit is. And when you called upon the name of the Lord, he gave you the right to become a child of God. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. That's your spirit being, created in righteousness and true holiness. And the Holy Spirit living in you to boot. When you leave your body, will you be consciously aware? Yes, you will. This is just what gives us expression in the earth. It's even interesting to notice your natural body is what gives you expression in the earth. But sometimes your body can be limited in terms of being able to express what's even really in you. I saw this happen with my dad when he had a stroke. He experienced something called aphasia. He couldn't speak, but he was listening. He was getting things. In other words, his physical brain was impaired. Your physical brain is the housing for your mind. And your physical brain could be damaged in a way that could impair your ability to express, but you're still there. It's just temporarily inhibiting what you're able to express. I would talk to my dad about some things, dear things, tender things, and he would cry. He couldn't quite express what he wanted to say, but he was getting it. Not because he wasn't there. He was still there. Just his physical brain was inhibiting him. Now he steps out. Thank God. He went home to be with the Lord. Now his spirit and his soul are fully intact without the restriction of a body that's damaged to fully express himself. It's important to realize this. Man, we're alive. We're alive on the inside. When you receive, eternal life isn't something that you get when you die. Eternal life is something you get when you receive Jesus. It changes who you are on the inside. You're a child of God. That's why he says he's going to bring back with him believers who've died. Right now in heaven, new creations around the throne worshiping God. And he's going to bring them back. They're recreated human spirits. And he's going to cause a resurrection. He is going to take the DNA, whether your ashes or whatever it is, he is going to recreate from the DNA a glorified body. Man, that is so far out. This stuff isn't hard to understand. It's hard to believe from a scientific standpoint. You got to receive it, believe it by faith. It's not complicated. We don't understand how God can do that, but he can. He can resurrect dead bodies. It's not like he can only resurrect a four-day-old dead body. No. He can go into the DNA of the ground and restore and repair and raise up. But this is what's going to be so cool about that day when he comes back. Remember when Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, they see what they hear. Blessed are your ears because of what you're hearing right now. It's like that generation got in on something that all the other generations weren't able to get in on, Jesus being alive and present. In this event, that won't be the case. Every generation gets in on this. The Apostle Paul is going to get his new body the same time you get your new body. He's going to bring those who sleep in Jesus. They're going to come experience that resurrection, and then you're going to be caught up together with them and experience that with them. This is going to, and then I love how it says it, then together with them, we who are still alive will remain on earth, who remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord, and then we will be with the Lord forever. It's a together experience that spans every generation. When this happens, it's not going to be, oh, cool, I was alive for the return of the Lord. I'm experiencing this because I was alive for the... Everybody who ever lived for God will come and will experience this together. Blessed will all of our eyes be. Blessed will all of our ears be. This is going to happen in God. We're instructed in the Word of God that we don't grieve as those who have no hope. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for us. Praise God. And then also, and this is just kind of where I'm wanting to go with this too, it's okay to be excited. You know, this is where we can come down to some theological differences within the body of Christ as believers, all right? What this describes is the catching up of the church, the rapture of the church. And people can have different opinions about whether you believe, there's going to be a tribulation period, 7 years. And so people have different ideas whether it's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture or a mid-tribulation rapture in the middle of the tribulation or a post-tribulation rapture after the tribulation is over that we're raptured. So good believers, good Christians can have difference of opinions about this, okay? And actually, I've actually been all three in my walk with the Lord. I started out as a mid-trib because I mapped the trumpet to the mid-trumpet and, it's kind of in that sense. And then I heard that pre-trib, mid-trib, that's for wimps. If you're really spiritually strong, you're going to go through and endure to the end if you really love God. It's like, yeah, that's me. I'm post-trib. That's not a good way to establish theology, okay? Playing on a spiritual ego. So, yeah, and so, I got the different scriptures and pieced it together that way. And then as I just began reading and studying and kind of going through it, I just began to see a certain perspective and the significance. And this is just study, all right, of Israel and how it fit in to God's timepiece. And I just began to see it in what Jesus said, referring to the abomination of desolation. I'm not going to go through everything, but I just ultimately realized pre-trib is what makes sense. because the church is a mystery, hidden. And that 70th week of Daniel was not determined upon the church. That 70th week of Daniel was determined upon my people Israel. That there is a certain theological, dispensational truth there. So anyway, I'm a pre-tribber now because of the things I've studied out. I've been all three, so, and again, I'm not, you can be whatever you want to be. There's no judgment here, whatever that is. We all have the same hope, ultimately. But I believe that there is a pre-tribulation rapture. And one of the things that I was robbed from when I became post-tribulation is, as that was pitched to me, it was like I didn't have the right to be excited about the return of the Lord. Yeah. It was like, if you're excited, you're just looking up, you're just engaged in the return of the Lord. You know, I'm busy. I got work to do. I'm working for the kingdom. While you're up there all excited about the return of Jesus, I'm tearing it up for the kingdom. You know, it's like, it was almost like you had a choice in either or. You could either be excited for the return of the Lord or you could be busy for Jesus. Do you know you can be both? You can be very excited for the return of the Lord and be busy for Jesus all at the same time. As we look at that passage we looked at just before, he goes on to say, he says, first, the believers who've died and will rise from their graves, and together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. That passage of the catching up is supposed to be an encouragement. We're supposed to look at that and say, praise God. He is coming back. He's going to change my body. I'm going to be together with those who've gone before me. You know, when I think of heaven, I don't just think of Jesus. I think of loved ones, especially the older you get. I heard somebody say that once. The older I get, you know, I got more people I know in heaven than I do on earth. You know, as you're getting older. So you got a lot to look forward to. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, one family in heaven and earth, is named. You know, we've got family here and we've got family in Oklahoma. One family. Same with us, the body of Christ. One family. Some are located in heaven, some are located on earth. There's a looking forward to. There's an excitement. There's an encouragement that we have. We've got family in heaven. We're going to see him again. In fact, there was one time I was just sitting at my desk. My mom had passed, you know, and it was like a few years later, and I was just thinking, man, there's going to be I'm going to actually see my mom again. And the Lord just spoke by his Spirit, said, yes, just like the word, there is an appointed time that you're going to see her again. It was so clear. It was almost like I wanted to pull out my phone and get a calendar open and open it up. It's so specific. There will be a time. You have loved ones in heaven who've gone before you. There is going to be a time when you are reunited with them. That's really going to happen. Not only is Jesus really coming back, but you are really going to be caught up together. There is going to be a together moment of reunion. That's a family reunion that will just go on forever and ever and ever. Praise God. Oh, man. We're not down here for a few years to get a little inspiration. If that's the case, we're a sorry lot. Nope. Cemeteries are cleared. This is eternal life. Our physical body is not eternal. We have something bigger on the inside of us. And when we hear stuff like this, it excites our spirit, who we are on the inside. Permission to be excited. This is the Apostle Paul writing to Titus. He said, we should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. Is it okay to look forward with hope to that wonderful day and serve God all at the same time? Yes, the Apostle Paul, he tore it up for the kingdom of God while he had a forward-looking hope and an excitement. This is a quote by a Bible scholar, Dr. G. Campbell Morgan. He said, to me, the second coming is the perpetual light on the path which makes the present bearable. I never lay my head on my pillow without thinking that maybe before the morning breaks, the final morning may have dawned. There's an expectancy. There is an anticipation. This is going to happen. When we live with that expectancy, that anticipation, praise God, it shoots, you know, encouragement. It shoots light into our path. This is temporary. Everything is temporary. Yes, love suffers long and is kind, but it's not suffering forever. Do you understand that? You're not going to have to resist the devil forever. He's going into a bottom. He's going into, you know, the lake of fire. Satan's a temporary problem. that person who you're struggling to walk in love toward, temporary problem. Everything's in this natural, it's temporary. We've got a broader context of eternal life. Jesus is coming back. We look forward with hope to that one. I just want to get into the Apostle Paul's heart and mind. Sometimes we get in the Apostle Paul's heart and mind, and all we see is just sacrifice and suffering and living for Jesus and the stuff. If you're going to really get in the Apostle Paul's heart and mind, you can't miss this too. You can't miss that he was looking forward to the return of Jesus. This is a guy who was caught up into heaven and saw things that weren't lawful to talk about. He saw it, and he was looking forward with hope to that wonderful day. There was something that just made him bold. There was one point where he said, yeah, persecutions and afflictions, you know, await us. I know that. He said, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy. There was a joy that was set before that man. There was a joy that was set before him that caused him to endure the things he was going through. Man, the Lord wants us to get a picture of that joy that is set before us. There's a joy that is set before us. There is a joy of eternity. This isn't the end. This is looking forward to an amazing, wonderful event that's going to happen in Christ. We can look forward with hope to that wonderful day. As he's talking to the Philippians, he says, we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Man, that's another thing to look forward to. Right now, we have bodies that fight us. Have you noticed that since receiving Jesus? Your body doesn't want to do the right thing. The Bible says we have to offer these bodies living sacrifices intentionally. We have to yield them as instruments of righteousness. And I will do that sometimes. I'll talk to my body and say, body, you're going to live for God today. You're not going to be the engine. You're going to be the caboose. Right? The Holy Spirit's the engine. I'm going to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say that out loud, you know, because we got bodies that bite us. That the Apostle Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I do want to do, I don't do. You know, he's like, why? This body is fighting me. You're going to get a glorious body that doesn't fight you anymore. Can you imagine that? A body that is in perfect agreement with who you are in Christ. Right now, we just kind of by faith perceive who we are in Christ, just by faith, because of what the Word says. That's what that Word this morning was, supernatural glimpses. He can show us glimpses of who we are. I've got one of those one day. It just changed my life to just get the revelation. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we're going through a body that speaks other things. You're gonna be in a glorified body that will be in perfect agreement with who you are in Christ. Your body will show and reveal who you are on the inside. It'll be in agreement with the Holy Spirit and God. I mean, wow. That's part of our redemption. When we got saved, our spirit was instantly redeemed. We went from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all it's become new. Your spirit is brand new. Right now, our mind is in the process of being transformed and renewed as we take thoughts into captivity. Our mind is catching up with what's already taken place in our spirit. Our mind is looking to the Word of God to know how to live and to come in line. Finally, we're waiting for the completion of our redemption where our bodies will be changed. And your whole being, your spirit, your soul, and your body are going to be in perfect agreement. When you have a glorified body, you won't have to take thoughts into captivity. Your body won't be fighting you anymore. This is a hope that is set before you. Who you are. This is who I am. Yeah, I'm taking thoughts captive, but this is who I am. And there's coming a day, praise God, when I am going to be brand new on the inside in that powerful way. Hebrews says it this way, therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we lay hold of the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. God has already gone there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. You can see that hope that lies before us. It's a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. This is why it's so important to not let go of your hope in the return of Jesus. Don't get so busy that you don't have time to think about and get excited about and to eagerly wait for it and to look forward to that wonderful day. Don't lose this forward, eager anticipation. If you take that peace out of your walk with the Lord, it can make things heavy and dark. We have a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. We can go there in the same way that we go there this morning in communion to remind ourselves, oh yes, I'm saved by grace through faith. I don't have to beat myself up. There's a blood that cleanses my conscience from dead works. I can go there and receive forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness by faith. I can go there. Same way here. We can go there as it relates to the Lord's return. He is coming back for us. This is temporary. I have a strong and trustworthy anchor for my soul. It keeps me rooted. It keeps me in the right place. I'm looking at men's hearts maybe failing them for fear of that things coming on the earth, but my heart isn't failing me. I'm looking forward to something beautiful, something wonderful. And I love that word anchor. You know, if you've ever been out fishing in a boat, I just think of my dad and brothers when we'd go out fishing bluegill. We'd go to the bays and we'd have to drop anchor so we didn't drift into the bay to fly fish out the bays. But what would that anchor do? That anchor wouldn't stop the waves. It would just keep us in place. Waves are still bumping up against the boat, but it kept us in place. It kept us in that vicinity. That's the powerful thing of an anchor. You're going to still feel things. You're going to still get headlines. You're going to still feel waves bumping up against you. But that anchor, that hope that you have, is what's going to keep you firm. It's going to keep you in the right place. And then finally, he's coming back with rewards. Behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's a powerful thing to think, too, something that you're looking forward to. He's going to come back with rewards. There's going to be something that he gives to you. Here's one thing. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Praise God. Think of that. A crown of righteousness for all those who have loved his appearing. It's fun, you know, as a pastor, you talk to people, you can kind of find out what their pet doctrines are and what's really burning on their heart. It's, you know, for some it could just salvation by grace, they're just the joy of the Lord and salvation. Others can be just freedom, deliverance, could be revival and spiritual gifts and different things like that. And I come across people who are excited about the return of the Lord Jesus. I think, man, there's a crown of righteousness for those who love his appearing. There's a certain reward, there's a certain blessing for those who are looking forward to that faith, that anticipation. It's not just a promise that's great, and then it kind of rings hollow. You think when Jesus came the first time, not many people were ready for him, to receive him. There were a few. Simeon, Anna, some wise men. They were excited. They got to see it. They rejoiced. The wise men rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They found the star where he was coming. There were a few people that got it. That blesses the Lord. When there are people who are looking, who are ready, when Jesus came the first time, there's going to be us who are looking for him, who are excited, who love his appearing. What a blessing. And I'll tell you what, there's something about that. When you have an expectancy, an anticipation of his coming, it'll cause you to be diligent. The Bible says, he who has this hope in him keeps himself pure even as he's pure. It has a purifying effect in your heart. There's a diligence and something that just that keeps you looking and keeps you spiritually minded. Finally, this is the great promise in Corinthians, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? So that, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. He's coming with his reward. Isn't that an amazing thought? You're saved by grace through faith. Your works can't save you. But the things you do for God do create rewards. In other words, there's coming a day when, because right in the here now, this is just a unique slice of time. This is a vapor of life. You're going to have that eternal body forever and ever and ever. Everything's going to be in agreement. But right now, you're walking by faith. You're making personal decisions of sacrifice. That's why the Bible says, offer your body a living sacrifice to God. Those sacrifices don't save you, but those sacrifices do powerful things for his kingdom, to work for the kingdom of God. They can help impact the outcome of eternity when you lay your life down in certain ways and make yourself available to God and help be a light and shine. It is beautiful. It is powerful. And there's coming a day when God is going to give you something to say thank you for what you did. Saved by grace through faith, but he's going to thank you. He is going to bless you. He's going to reward you for the things done in the body. In fact, Jesus said, store up rewards in heaven where moth and rust can't break through and steal. Store up that treasure in heaven. Man, I'll tell you, you begin to get excited about the kingdom of God because you realize he's coming back. He's coming back with rewards. He's coming back to bless you, to receive you, and to do something. I don't know what that's going to look like. The Bible says we know in part, we don't know in full. I don't know what it fully looks like to get a reward from the Lord on that day. When he comes back and you think, there's going to be things he's going to reward you for that you forgot you even did. Remember that person? Remember that? Yeah. The same God that knows the number of hairs on your head knows everything you've done, every word of encouragement, every little thing that he's used you for his kingdom. And he's going to come back. So remember that? Remember that? All right. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for using me. Well, that's not good enough. He wants to reward you. Jesus said, if you can get a glimpse of this, man, it'll just excite. I'm here for a purpose. It's exciting. It is something you can learn the theology of it. Like I said, I knew the theology of it. I was preaching for 12 years as a pastor, and I had this dream, and it just woke me up. There was a certain spiritual wokeness, awake unto righteousness and sin not, a wokeness that was like, this is really going to happen. I have permission to be eagerly excited, to look forward to this, to get stirred up. Again, what am I saying that for? There's a lot of stuff going on this earth. There's stuff that's going to happen this week. You know, we're in the middle of a government shutdown right now, and a lot of things going on in the political realm, the natural sense, and all that stuff, and what's going to happen? I mean, you see all the weird stuff and things going on in the news, and wow, that's not where we're fixated. We set our mind on things above. We set our mind on things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. We don't set our mind on things on the earth. We pray about things that are on the earth, but we don't set our mind there. We don't live there. We live in that place in Christ Jesus. For Christ who is our life, for when Christ who is our life appears, then you also will appear with him. Why does he set your mind on things above? This is, in other words, we should have this gaze when he appears in our heart. That posture in our heart should be looking up, looking at Jesus coming. So just let this be a little trigger message to you this week. I'm looking up. In fact, make that your declaration this week for 1 week. I'm looking up. I'm looking up. That's where my help comes from. That's where my hope comes from. My hope is in the name of the Lord, where my help comes from. My strength is in the name of the Lord. I'm looking back. Jesus is coming back for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you this morning just to be stirred up in something we already know theologically. We know you're coming back. But Lord, we allow our hearts and our minds to go there. We allow ourselves to be stirred up in the fact that you are coming back for us. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Jesus. You're coming back. You're coming back for me. I thank you, Jesus. You are for me. You love me. I thank you for the joy that is set before me. And like Paul, I look forward to that wonderful day. I see it. I thank you for it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not die, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, for that everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. You know, just the getting stirred up. You know, the word, this is just a little thing, the word Maranatha is Syriac expression that means our Lord comes. It was used as a greeting in the early church when believers gathered or parted. They didn't say hello or goodbye, but Maranatha. If we had the same upward look today, it would revolutionize the church. Oh, that God's people had a deepening awareness of the imminent return of the Savior. That early church was just looking up. They were just anticipating. Again, you're not choosing between looking up or living for God. You're living for God and you're looking up, but you're excited. There's a joy that is set before you. In fact, the scripture says about Jesus, because of the joy that was set before him, he was able to endure the cross, despising the shame. That joy is what gives you the strength to endure. You know, if you're getting ready for a trip, let's say you're going on a vacation, 2 weeks, beautiful paradise vacation, all right? You're leaving Saturday, and it's Friday. You're going to be busy. You're going to be doing a bunch of stuff. You got to get all this done. You got to get that done. You got to find somebody to take care of the dog. You got to get some groceries here. You got to get some things. You got the house clean. You're busy, but you're busy excited. You're excited busy. You're excited busy because you're getting ready to go somewhere. And you're doing things that you know you need to do, but you're excited. That's the way we should be. Excited, busy. We're busy. We're doing some things. We're doing the stuff that God's, but we're getting ready to go somewhere. We got to see that context. We got to believe. We got to get stirred up. This is true. This is happening. Amen. Praise God.